Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Being published on the Kittens and Friends feed,
whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, we probably should do it as that, shouldn't we?
Well, I'm not doing Kittens, I've got the energy.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, do you want me to?
You're right, David.
Oh, I can't.
There you go, pull him out. Pull him out the box.
Don't bother.
Shall we, well, wear the suits, really? Do you know what I mean? It really is a case of, keeps like a similar. I think it's such a similar format would be us going on an adventure. I don't know if anyone's got the energy for that.
I haven't got the energy for any of that.
Are we not doing that? Yeah, it's basically not a podcast. Maybe
no, we're just chatting. We're just chatting.
Just have a general chat about. We can just have a general chat about it.
Oh, yeah, like that.
You know I'm going to put all this on the pod as well.
Yeah, I'm going to get the whole proper intro.
I'm going to be myself then.
Yeah.
My name again.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Where's Chris and Jim?
Where the fuck is Jim and Chris? I've got a fucking sofa coming.
What style of sofa have you got? Is it going to be nice?
It's like a handmade one.
Wowzers.
But also, someone's coming to collect the old one, so this is all going to unfold during this hour, just so you know.
Much like the sofa.
Absolutely. Very true. Very true. Quite right. I was going to say, I'm thinking about getting a sofa, and there you go. That's quite an interesting segue.
You want our old one?
Well, I would be interested in that. Flipping it. It's a bit fucked, bed.
It's not a sofa bed. No.
That's what I'm after.
No, we got a sofa bed, but we need it.
Goodness.
Why don't we do a pod every week like this?
No,
this
absolutely. Sofa chats.
So easy.
Basically,
yeah,
because I've got a I purchased a sofa bed, and God almighty, it's just I've never had more problems with my back, full stop.
They're not very comfortable, are they? It's quite rare you get a comfortable one.
I mean, have you got any tips for getting it's a bizarre question, I know, but it's a case of I know it's a bizarre
I think just go into the store and lie on them.
I think you almost have to do that.
I can't relax lying on a bed in a shop.
You got to, and toss and turn.
And get the whole vibe. But I tell you something, the one I've got is very misleading in the sense that it's very comfortable to sleep on, incredibly comfortable. And but then you wake up and you can't move. Do you know what I mean? It's just, I don't know what it is. It's like some kind of hideous trap
like
or something.
Torture.
Yeah, it literally is. I mean, I've never had such a bad back situation in my life. I was crawling on all fours afterwards. It was that bad.
Jesus. What, around your flat?
Yes, it was really bad.
I'm just imagining you crawling around on your own.
Yeah, it really
crying
was.
For help.
Crying for help and trying to find the inner strength to try and stand up, like the evolution of man, trying to go from all fours to 2 feet type of thing. Because once you're up, you can start moving around, you're okay. But Jesus, yeah, it was really intense.
Hey.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim. How are you? You good?
I'm good. How are you, David?
I'm not bad. Not bad at all. David was just telling me about your LA trip. It sounds exciting.
Yeah, it was really exciting. It was weird.
Is it the first time you've gone to LA? Have you been before? Or?
I've been before, yeah, but nothing for like anything like that. Just for like just, you know, having meetings that are really pointless.
I said if David went to LA, his testicles would explode.
Quite literally. It'd be a health and safety problem, I think.
They would, wouldn't they?
I'd have to do something, I don't know, to look after them. I don't know, put some ice cubes around them or something, just sort of keep them in storage as I wander around Beverly Hills. Type of thing.
Storage.
Indeed. Storage. To look after them.
Yeah.
This is recording, by the way.
Is it?
I'm sure stuff will be edited out and...
Oh, yeah, take this bit out.
Did you tell David Edwards where we stayed?
Yeah, Pretty Woman Hotel.
Yeah, Pretty Woman Hotel. What was that like? And is it a free buffet? You can have what you want?
I don't know. It's smart.
Well, it's sort of.
Definitely not free.
No, that's. I told you about the Eggs Benedict, David.
Oh, God. Oh, yes. 200 quid. I mean, that's amazing, isn't that?
Yeah.
Well, you had that 3 days in a row, didn't you, David? It sort of went to your head a bit.
Yeah, you were a different guy by the end of the few days.
Didn't we all have Eggs Benedict?
I had it twice. I think I had.
I had it three times.
Yeah. I heard you say on the thing at the podcast, whatever it is, the Parenting from Hell one, that it took you 48 hours to sort of get out of the Hollywood mode coming home. I had that as well.
Yeah.
Sort of like, why do I have to look after the kids and stuff? What's this?
Yeah, what was my thing that I was feeling?
You were just missing a load of eggs, basically.
I first felt it on Exeter City Station or whatever, the platform, when I got off and I looked at everyone and just went, ugh.
Oh, my Lord, withdrawal. Yeah, I can imagine all the LA...
Like Chris was saying to me, it's like 98% of human beings are unhealthy and poor. And I just thought, oh God, we're all disgusting.
Yeah, not in LA, not in Rodeo Drive.
No way. You did fall in love with the Americans, though, didn't you? How polite they were and friendly and.
Yeah, I did. I got sucked in, but I found it really sincere. I didn't find it genuine.
Could you guys imagine living there at all? Could you ever imagine?
Yeah, I mean, when they sort of started talking about poverty, I was like, yeah, don't talk about that. Let's keep talking about
it. Tiptoe around that one. I'm not interested in that.
I know, yeah. I felt like it was like a chocolate bar. You can have a little bit, but you want to get back to your roast potatoes.
That old phrase.
Yeah.
Hey, back to normality.
Yeah. But are you? Where are you, Jim? She went to...
I'm really at my parents' house now, but I went straight to France, which is, and I went to the wedding like straight away. I'm just knackered.
Yeah,
how was it? Fun.
It was really fun, but I just like lost my mind completely. Like just by the end of the night, I was just like didn't know what was going on.
Was everyone coming up to you going, "Oh, you're a film director"? Oh, God.
Yeah. Really, really quietly, but like,
can you film this wedding?
Yeah. Well, David, like, just sort of be good if you, I don't know what we thought.
I think you're interviewing us about the film, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Chris will get straight into it, sort of thing.
Should we get started? Because I don't know when Chris will turn up. He'll turn up any minute.
Yeah, let's go for it. So, I mean,
imagine you're Mark Kermode, David.
Oh, I'm very much, this is my sort of film platform. Sort of BAFTA Guru special. That's the type of vibe I'm going for this.
Take it seriously.
No, I am. Yeah, sorry. I Don't mock, Dave. Don't bring us all out of our beds early.
Oh, here's the doorbell, guys.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh, there we go. Is that the sofa or the coffee?
I think that's the sofa.
Oh, God, it's on its way. Oh. Goodness me. That might take a bit of time to get a sofa into a house.
Oh, Chris.
Oh, wow, it's Chris.
Oh, how's it going, Chris? How are you, pal?
Hi, David.
You're looking great. Going for a sort of Australian outback back vibe there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to reinvent myself.
Well, that's what the internet's all about. That's why green screens exist and hats. Yeah,
exactly.
You've got very nice sort of going for an Australian drink as well. It looks like sort of a bit of juice you've got there on the ranch.
This is like a vitamin blast.
Oh, blimey. Flipping egg.
Yeah, I'm getting involved.
Yeah.
Right, what life's go. About.
Fresh from LA.
Right, go.
Let's go for it. Yeah, let's go for interview. But okay, so I think the first thing I'd say is.
We are go for it.
Yeah.
Should we go for it? Well, yeah, let's go for it.
Where's Rupert? Sorting out his sofa.
Yeah, yeah, he's back in a couple of minutes.
Do we wait for him to get his sofa? We can always wait for him to...
He's all right. He can come back. He'll be here in a minute.
This is all going in the pod, right? This
sofa commotion, subplot, alongside everything else.
I'll give you a gap, and then you do your intro, David. Here we go. So really take it seriously.
No, I will do, definitely. Is that it? Are we going to...
Yeah, you've got to introduce...
Oh, right. I think you're going to count me in or something. I was ready.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Gittings Friends podcast, where I'm joined here by Jim Archer, director, Chris Hayward, writer, and David Earl, writer/star of Brian and Charles, and Rupert, producer, who will be joining us in a second, won't he? I think he's in the middle of looking after a sofa, which can edit that out, whatever, but just a sofa domestic issue that he's kind of just dealing with in the background type of thing.
Yeah.
Okay. One thing I would definitely say right at the beginning of it, which I think people would find really interesting, is definitely the origins of Brian and Charles, because it's not... It had an interesting evolution, didn't it, where it actually started from. And you must look back on that and just think it was really
Sorry,
crazy.
Dave, I can't be bothered.
Answered that so many times.
Oh, have you? Fair enough. No, that's fair enough. Absolutely. I've got a lot of questions here. Do not worry.
Also, I like that we can just say I can't be bothered to answer that.
Tick it off the list. This is a very democratic chat.
Anyone listening to this will sort of know.
Won't they? Very true. Very true. Absolutely. So let's...
Question two.
Let's roll straight on. So we've written the film. Let's forget about that. That was written. Let's go straight on to hardest days on the film set. That's an important one. I don't think that would have been covered in some of the interviews. And if there is, you know, I'll take the criticism, and I've got a list of typed questions here. And what would you say, hardest days on a film set? What would you say, one particular day on the film set, we just thought, oh, this isn't fun anymore. This is a bloody handful.
Sorry about that.
It's back.
Hey, Chris.
Let's talk about the hardest.
I'm really out of breath because I had to help move the sofa.
Rupert, what was the hardest day on the film set?
When I had to move a sofa.
The first day, I was only there for one night, and I've got to say, I found it quite a stressful handful. I was like,
You're in it.
I know. I was there for that massive confrontation that took place with the electronic.
You had a line, didn't you, David?
I certainly did. He took my shovel.
Someone said to me when we premiered at the Picture House. Someone said to me that they were sat next to a lady, and when you walked on screen, she went,
That's what you want, isn't it? Nice. That's the gasp factor. I mean, that's the X factor that puts... Put that face on a poster, people turn up type of thing. Is that true? I got a gasp? That's lovely to hear. You can't knock little things like that, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, we're sort of talking about our reviews, weren't we, David? And you keep... Whenever I go, we got a 4-star with Empire, what do you do?
I focus on the positives of the 4-star.
But
you know, he's missing a star, isn't it? But it's not. That's not a negative whatsoever.
Yeah, I feel the same way sometimes. I think, what's that little? There's two little missing stars or one missing star.
Little just missing. Where is it? Where is it? Gap. Indeed. But I mean, if you look at Empire, all the decent films got 4 out of 5. Do you know what I mean? I think all the interesting indie, quirky kind of films always get 4 out of 5, don't they?
What gets 5 out of 5?
I think Maverick got 5 out of 5.
Yeah, Maverick, or stuff like Forrest Gump. You know, there's proper mainstream kind of like, you know, you can watch it with your gran. Good old-fashioned tentpole, what's they call them, quadrant blockbusters, entertains your kid, your cat, and your dad, you know, the whole thing. They usually get the 5 out of 5. But if you want something that's a bit more je ne sais quoi, a bit more interesting, it's usually 4 out of 5, isn't it? If you get that, you're fine.
David, what do you think we should have put in to make it a 5? What would have made the difference?
What would have made... That's a very good question. Probably more big special effects at the end, I think, isn't it? More of a spectacle, which isn't your... that's not a criticism, by the way. I'm just talking about that's the bank.
Nothing to do with the quality of the film.
That's not the quality of the film at all. That's mere money we're talking about. We're talking about capitalism now, not art.
So money equals stars.
Money equals stars. If you had a bigger bonfire at the end with bigger CGI flames...
Really? Is that you've been genuine there?
Not literally genuine. I'm not knocking the film at all. So there's Rupert's wandering off type of thing. I hope that's for his sofa. I think I upset him over a visual effect, CGI flames. What I'm talking about is the Marvel factor. You can see why I haven't got a film show on Radio 5. Yeah. Creator of mutiny. I'm talking about escapist Marvel factor. I'm not talking about things. I didn't sit there in that cinema and just think, well, that's not a bonfire. It clearly was, and it served what I needed. Or you wouldn't have got four.
What was the last film you saw? You thought that is a five. That's like a film that blew you away.
It's a while. I've gone to the cinema a lot recently, especially post COVID. Even things like, I think the older I've got, the chooser I've got. My socks weren't blown off the Top Gun Maverick. Do you know what I mean? I mean, 4 out of 5. Oh, right.
My socks were good.
Did you really? Were you that impressed? 5 out of 5. This is a love letter.
Yeah, I guess so. What more can you do to get 5?
I mean, the middle bit is quite kind of just cheesy and sort of by the numbers, isn't it? I think the ending's definitely 5.
I tell you what. The 5 out of 5s for me have definitely been the, what's his name? Denis Verduve? Verdeel.
Van Outen?
Van Dude?
Van Outen.
Van Outen. Denis Van Outen.
Absolutely.
The director,
that's the one. Not the big brother presenter. I don't know, muddle things up with her. I would say Dune and Blade Runner 2. Both of those, I was like, wow. Chatting to the usher afterwards, watching the credits roll down.
Telling him about how many stars he'd give it.
Absolutely. Just like, that was bloody good, wasn't it? As they're picking up the opal fruit wrappers. You know what I mean?
We should wait outside our screen to just see if they're chatting to the usher.
That's a sign, I think, where someone's had a religious experience. They've had to sort of gather their thoughts type of thing as the final reel comes to an end. But I'd say his stuff is the stuff that's really grabbed me. I was impressed by Dune and Blade Runner 2 type of thing. But anyway,
if you didn't know us at all, David, and you were reviewing Brian and Charles, what would you have given it?
Oh, I would, honest to God, and I'm not just saying this just to blow smoke up anyone's behinds. Mm-hmm. I would say 5 out of 5 for me. Honest to God, genuinely, I was genuinely, but it's definitely, I am the demographic for that type of film. You know, I am your audience, basically. Do you know what I mean? That's like totally ticked my box. Kind of live action urban animation. You know, it's like Wallace and Gromit live action. So it's like, yeah, sign me up. Absolutely. So it's like I'm your core audience. You probably didn't even have to advertise to me. Do you know what I mean? I'm already in there type of thing.
Well, you're in it.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, that's very true.
That's a good question, though. Have you been marketed to? Have you, like, seen it?
I've definitely seen It's popped up in all the geeky film blogs I go on and podcasts.
Oh God, what are they saying? What are they saying?
Oh, very positive. Oh, because it's totally their thing, isn't it? It's got that proper movie feel to it. It's something new, the twist. It's exactly what they want. That whole kind of Sundance crowd, basically. We were saying hardest day on set. Any thoughts of that? Or is that cut? That conversation's come and gone. That question.
What was the hardest day on set?
I mean, it wasn't. I mean, the day you were there, David, was quite hard. It's probably top two for me.
I did think.
I think that day would have been a lot harder if it had been pouring the rain. We were lucky with the weather for that scene where it wasn't stormy. Imagine if it had been like torrential rain trying to do that.
What time was it when we were doing it? Was it midnight?
Oh yeah, it was 1 o'clock in the morning. It was freezing as well. Someone did pull me aside, actually, later in the hotel afterwards, which was very embarrassing. And he said to me, when you're with actors, it's best not to ask them about their previous work type of thing. So I think I was too chatty. I don't know, we perhaps better not leave on the podcast type of thing. So I'm not being negative. He said it to me in a very nice manner. It was almost, he pulled me aside in a hallway like an uncle giving me a Wolf of Original Meat.
Sitting in late at night as well.
In a very nice manner.
Yeah, very, very nice manner. It was down in a very diplomatic manner. I didn't feel as I could happily go to bed afterwards. I wasn't sat on the edge of my seat thinking, oh, Christ,
he literally
told
pulled you aside and said, excuse me, when you're with actors.
Yeah, we don't really talk about what we've done previously. I think I was just quizzing people about their IMDb.
Well, was it an actor?
Yes, it was one of the actors who...
Oh, you've got to tell us. We can edit it out, but who was it?
We'll cut it out.
We're saying that was the hardest day, I guess.
When you got told off.
There was one day when David L. really kicked off because he didn't have a trailer. That was quite a hard day for me.
Mm. I can imagine that. A bit of a tantrum on the heels of Wales.
Yeah.
Was that the day when the coffee machine was stuck up?
That's when we organised a special treat for all the crew for a coffee cart to come up. We couldn't make it up that like long road to the farm.
Why couldn't he make it up? It was just a path.
Because it started snowing and he was worried that he'd get stuck there.
Was it like on a bicycle or something like
that? Yeah, flying cuckoo clock.
Oh, God, yeah, that was amazing. When you created that, putting the actual inventions together, that was incredible.
That's coming here, I think.
Really?
Oh, they're sending it there.
Right. Where are you going to put it?
You could have little tours, like people will come to your house. And
one thing has to be said, you must be really pleased that it's got a cinema release, because the way the industry is at the moment, those type of mid-range budget films definitely go straight on video streaming services. So to get like a cinema release, you must be really chuffed with that.
Yeah,
right?
Amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
We've been looking at the US box office numbers every day. It's just weird that people are going to go and see it in America. I'm just like, and UK, but
what was the highest it peaked at? 8, was it?
Eight. And now it's the weekend, so it's going to be obliterated by Elvis or something else.
Oh, is that out this weekend, Elvis?
Elvis and this other film called The Black Phone, which is like a sort of horror film with.
Well, I mean, it's Maverick that's still competitive, isn't it? I mean, that's hardly dropped at all from the box office. And I heard today that they think it might even be the highest grossing Paramount film ever, not just Tom Cruise. They think it might be something like not just over a billion, but like 1.3 billion. I mean, that film's done crazy. I mean, don't get me wrong, I was a bit critical about it earlier. It is good. It's very good, but I mean, that's Marvel money, isn't it? That's incredible box office.
The budget was 1.2 billion.
What?
There you go.
Was it?
No. I mean, the amount that Tom Cruise is going to get for it, I think he's got 23 million for making it.
And then how much he gets paid?
That's what he got paid for doing, just showing up in his outfit or whatever. And then 10% of the box office, 10% of everything. Would you imagine that?
What's he going to do with all that money?
Oh.
Yeah.
Buy more planes, I suppose.
Yeah.
Apparently that plane at the end is his, isn't it? He called it Kiss Me Kate.
He can
Kate
fly, Holmes, right?
Relationship.
Yeah. He's a proper pilot.
He is, yeah. He took James Corden.
That's a bit like you in the cuckoo clock, David. Like,
it is, you know, very much like that.
Cruise,
yes,
has his plane.
Yeah, that's David's actual cuckoo clock. Yeah.
That probably was quite a difficult day for you, wasn't it, David? Trying to fly the cuckoo clock.
God, yeah.
You're getting quite frustrated, weren't you?
Well, I just thought I was going to hurt myself. And everyone laughing. Ha, 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 ha. And then I fall over. Oh, bloody hell, he's hurt. Yes, I am hurt. Piss me off.
Did you actually fall off?
Well, going the opposite direction, that sort of camber, I was like, well, I'm never going to, if this tumbles on me, you lost your star, boy. And I had a dicky back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Going down that hill was a stupid idea.
Here's another question for you, talking about the film. What would you say?
On the film for once.
Absolutely, yeah, quite right. So I am losing direction here. You're quite right, though. Do say if that happens. What were the main inspiration between the films that inspired elements and the tone of the movie? Because you can definitely tell things like there's almost like a John Carpenter vibe at the beginning, going through the workshop. And tell me if I'm wrong. Almost an E.T. feel at places. Were there key films that kind of inspired and influenced the tone?
Well, you know there was. We've spoken about it.
I know we have, but
off pod.
He's trying to bring it back to Top Gun again.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get back to Top. Yes, that's where I'm quite comfortable. I mean, what he's doing well at the box office, it's worth chatting about.
We've chatted about it for the last month off pod.
I know we have chatted about that. It's E.T. What's the John
Carpenter thing that you were seeing in the first bit?
Yeah, okay, that's interesting, isn't it? It's a case of I would say that kind of slightly retro 80s electro music slight vibe at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And that kind of, I don't know, 13 Precinct, Assault and Precinct, kind of the dark blue lighting going around the actual warehouse and stuff. Probably isn't John Carpenter. You know, I'm thinking now I'm losing confidence in that reference as I verbalise it. Definitely E.T., which as David said, I've already discussed with him about that. I'm dissecting the whole of that question and limiting it a bit. Let's move on from that. Let's have a think. What else have we got?
David,
here?
Let's cut to the crap. You want to talk about celebs in LA?
I do. Yes. Which celebrities did you see in LA? Just we'll go.
We saw, who did we see? We saw David Cockner from Anchorman.
So I saw Margot Robbie on the plane. Yeah.
So you actually saw Margot Robbie on the plane type of thing?
She was sat opposite me, yeah.
You're not tempted to say something?
Well, at first I thought it was like, I was like, oh, because me and Dave were in the queue for the plane. It was like lots of like old people. We're like, oh, I guess this is the sort of people who can afford like business class. Then when we got on the plane, it was like much younger people. I was like, oh, maybe these are all like starlets or something, like about to be really famous. And then one of them was Margot Robbie, but I didn't realize it at first because she looks like that girl from Sex Education.
Right, yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, it's her, because she famously looks like Margot Robbie. And then I was like, oh, no.
It is
Margot Robbie. It's mad.
So yeah, were you in one of those chairs that have like a dividing thing between you? Was she in one and you in another?
Yeah, she was the opposite. And then she looked, yeah. I mean, I don't
know. She just put her, the divide up, did she?
You can't really move it. It's just there.
Did she go to sleep?
She did go to sleep. I feel like I shouldn't be talking about this now.
Did she sleep?
So she sleeps. So I can confirm that she sleeps.
And what did she? Any ideal meal wise? What she had was, I know it's a bit of a dark question.
She was watching actually. What she was watching? No, but she, on a laptop. I'm pretty sure I like walked past and she was watching Rambo.
Oh my lord! Not what you expect.
No, like it wasn't like she brought her own laptop.
Copy.
Yeah. So I was like, is she like going to be in the new Rambo? Is she researching it? Like.
Well, bizarrely, there was a lot of gossip, wasn't there, that Tarantino said he wanted to do a remake with Adam Driver. I don't know if that was just podcast chat type of thing.
She's in a Tarantino film, wasn't she? She's in.
Oh yes, that is true. Yes.
So maybe.
But he did say that. He mentioned it a lot in some podcast chat. That's a bizarre thing for us to be sat there watching, though, sort of Rambo. I watched that again recently. The first film's not bad. It's very, very good. Sort of.
I love the first film.
What's that, sorry?
I love it. First Blood.
Great, isn't it? Really,
it's been re-released, isn't it? Because it's the 40th anniversary.
Oh, is it? We will get like a cinema release.
Yeah, we should all go.
Yeah, definitely. Like on the set of Brian and Charles, was there more room for improvisation, changing things while you were filming it? Because you had that flexibility.
Yeah, we storyboarded like those days, that the day that you, wait, did we storyboard that? We storyboarded the bonfire and the chase. I don't think we did the showdown. I think that was it. So like everything else, you just want to improvise, or just like, you don't want to like decide exactly how you're going to shoot it, because it's comedy. I think you just want to see what happens.
But keep it organic in that style, basically. And also doing it in the style of a documentary probably helps as well, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That fly on the wall for you don't have to storyboard everything to that degree. It's more like handheld.
Yeah, keep it loose. Everyone's got really bored now. We're actually talking about the film.
No, I was loving it, actually. Oh, I was getting right into that.
Yeah.
I thought you said fly on the wolf.
Fly on the wolf. That's a new genre.
No, that's what we were doing. We were doing a sort of fly on the wolf style. Like,
I mean, the ultimate... do a lot when you're I think David's answered this question again, so maybe because I've quizzed David lots about this, you know what I mean, but do a lot of people, not just interviewers, but people in the industry, have they spoken a lot about maybe a sequel or a follow-up or something in that vein?
We get asked that question a lot, don't we? Yeah,
they've sort of said, would you like to do one?
Did they?
Well, not as in we'll fund it, but a few different reviewers have said.
Which is weird. I reckon most films don't get asked that question. So there's obviously
it's almost baked in. It has got like a franchise vibe to it, hasn't it?
Oh, someone mentioned a road movie across America. That'd be good,
wouldn't it? Yeah, that'd be amazing.
What do you think we should do, David? Which way should we take it?
Well, I mean, definitely the road, just straight away, the road movie idea has definitely got a nice vibe to it, isn't it?
Would you go, oh, they're doing that? Would you not want them back in their world in Wales?
I would be interesting. I think I had nothing to do with you at all. I was just like a film geek and it was me interacting with you via blogs and Empire and stuff like that. I would probably be more interested if you did like something like what Edgar Wright did with Cornetto Trilogy, whereby it was like a follow-up but with different characters in the same vein.
You don't like the film, do you?
Oh, I do. I do. I'd be more than happy for more Brian and Charles. Don't get me wrong.
So we should have Brian and Charles being two policemen. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, absolutely, yes. Hot Fuzz. So it's like a RoboCop
car driving around in a police car.
I'd actually watched that.
A RoboCop feel like an android.
And the blue light is the siren.
Yes, definitely. On Charles.
Was Turner and Hooch, was he a policeman?
He was a policeman. Yeah, Turner and Hooch was a policeman. Yeah, with a dog.
Oh, there you go. Back
that he stood with that orangutan.
Yeah, what was that called?
One like cops?
Something like that.
Every loser wins.
It was something like that.
Which way but loose.
That's it. That's the one. I think they did a sequel to that. They did a second one.
I love that. I love that someone would have pitched that idea.
I know. It's totally out there, isn't it? And also canine. Yeah. There was quite a few animal and police.
Kind of. What hasn't been done? A man, like a man and a snake? Like a man and a, like a buddy?
Yeah, no one's done a man and a snake. Man and a parrot.
Yeah, a woman and a rat.
A woman and a rat. Definitely. That's quite right. Brand new field.
There's actually loads of them when you think about it. There's loads of buddy things that you can do.
So there'd be a policeman and then in the passenger seat, a snake wrapped around the seat.
An octopus would be ideal. Bit of CGI in there.
Yeah, detective octopus.
Is this with Brian and Charles, or is this a different film now?
I guess they could just all be in there, loads of them in this van driving around. Brian and Charles, an octopus.
But so they're all police. They're all policemen in a big van. A robot, a spider, a snake.
Yeah.
You can see the McDonald's meal, can't you? You can see the figurines with the McDonald's kind of kids' meal.
And they each have different skills. So if you need someone to climb up a building, they'll get the octopus out and it'll sort of scale.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just trying to get my head around it.
No, stay with us, Jim.
It's kind of Madagascar with a crime element, isn't it? You can imagine a giraffe getting involved.
Oh. What would you call the movie, David?
I would call it a... Animal antics. I'm trying to think. Sort of.
Isn't that a bit off brand? Don't you need to keep to the brand?
You do need to keep to what the Brian and Charles brand.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It'd be Brian and Charles, and then something else.
Yeah, Brian and Charles enters the animal kingdom. That sounds a bit crap, doesn't it? It's a bit. Brian and Charles gone.
Also, it's gone off the police. What about the police thing?
Oh yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, you need to evolve that.
Brian and Charles enter the animal kingdom.
I think it's simple as that.
No, I'm watching.
Franchise, enter the Animal Kingdom, colon, a cop film.
Absolutely, it's just very clear marketing. You don't want the message to be confused.
Oh, David, do you know what me and Rupert did last week? We went to, when it was out on the first day in LA, we went to a cinema and bought tickets. And we went to watch it,
an actual audience type of thing.
Well, there were seven people in the audience. We sat at the back, and these six or seven people came in, and we started watching the film with. Yeah.
Did they make any noise?
The couple next to us were laughing all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Such a weird feeling, wasn't it?
Yeah, also we had to leave because we were catching a flight back. So it was quite weird.
Yeah, and we had to stagger the leaving because Rupert thought we can't all go. So we look like we've had enough of the film.
I was worried that it would make everyone else leave if we all left.
Yeah. So we had to stagger.
Is that what you did? You left at a certain...
Yeah. So I said, David, give it 5 minutes. So I had to
I thought it was a really good idea. I thought, yeah, it's half the audience have fucked off after 20 minutes.
I think it's going to be better if you left together because then it's like... Otherwise, it looks like two people have made a decision rather than just like a couple.
You're completely right in hindsight, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And
where was the cinema?
One of them was in it.
You wanted to say something to them, didn't you? You wanted to go.
Yeah, I really wanted to. Oh, I wish I had.
Well, say like...
That's me.
Yeah. I wonder
what could they possibly have said back?
Oh, right.
What? Yeah, what? You fucking
wow.
Gee whiz, they might have said gee whiz.
Yeah.
You'd have been pretty recognizable with the glasses and the beard. Do you know what I mean? It's quite similar to the poster, the look, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? I'd definitely spot you. I think, shit, that's the bloke in the film. I think it wouldn't take much for me to make the similarity.
If that happened to you, if you're watching a film and someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, hey, that's me. What would you say to them?
Going back to him, doesn't Tom Cruise do that, you said?
Like if I was watching the Black Phone yesterday and Ethan Hawke tapped me on the shoulder and said, hey, that's me.
You kind of want to still be watching the film, though, because you've got to stay quiet. I feel like you'd be like,
back to you, wouldn't you?
I guess you'd be whispering. He would whisper to you, hey, that's me.
David, if I was watching an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie and Arnie was sat next to me, what would Arnie sound like? You do a good impression, don't you?
Let's hope this goes well, because it's going to be... That would be me. That is me.
That would be.
You did it well earlier.
I know, I completely ruined that, didn't I? I really didn't expect that.
Can you do a riff about Arnold Schwarzenegger talking about Brian and Charles?
As Arnold Schwarzenegger or just
As Arnold, Yeah.
I went to the cinema and I saw a film, Brian and Charles. It was a dream come true. God, I don't know. That was
Count Dracula. It's the count in the Sesame
Street. It does sound a lot more like Sesame Street, doesn't it?
How many stars would he give it?
Oh, 5 out of 5 for crying out loud.
5 out of 5. Maybe.
LA for the mayor of LA for crying out loud. Do you know what I mean? Anything that brings in money to the LA people, I think that's the key. Full stop.
That's the end.
The silence.
That's the last line.
A bit of a natural pause to that one. I'm wondering to myself how I entered into something political there without knowing it or something. Do you know what I mean?
Sort of
American Democratic. I was sort of chewing that one over type of element.
Well,
does he help capitalism or, you know?
Does this pod have many American listeners? Do you know what the stats are?
Yeah, loads.
So it's going to go on the Gitches and Friends podcast, isn't it? That's the idea.
Yeah. Which is, what was the last one we ever did of those? Do you know?
Just before COVID, wasn't it, I think?
Yeah, it sort of just petered out, didn't it?
I think it did, unfortunately.
We had a lot of fun.
Good fun, though.
No, they were really good fun. What other podcasts you do? Sorry, I'm going well off topic there. I was asking about podcasts, for crying out loud.
Oh, Donnelly was the last one.
Was it?
Yeah. Steve Oram.
How many episodes did we do?
88. 80 something.
When was the last one then? A couple of years ago?
2020. Yeah, just before first lockdown.
It's probably because we were going into production of the film.
Yeah.
In hindsight, we could have done quite a lot during the lockdown, but we didn't.
That's very true, actually, isn't it? Has to be said. So let's, honestly, let's go question-wise. One thing I'd definitely say, so definitely Brian and Charles sequel, road movie, sort of, there's potential for that. What is your ultimate, all of you, just each you sort of thing, what would you say your ultimate fantasy next step would be? Because, I mean, not many people get a film in the cinema, do they? I mean, it's a big career trampoline. You just think, gosh, what would I like to do next type of thing?
Hi. This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Any ideas?
Work together again?
That would be wonderful.
On another film.
Well, like you said, like the Edgar Wright thing, just do like another film together, but a bigger one.
And this time, something nice and warm.
Yes, that's
a good one. Like a tropical...
And we'll write more lines for you
somewhere. Yeah, please do. If you could definitely, get me in there, that would be ideal.
We could do your line now. What was it?
Yeah. Can you remember it?
He took my shovel.
Stole.
What's that? Took my wow.
It stole.
Yeah, it stole.
He stole my shovel.
Oh, he stole my shovel. That's he didn't take it. He stole it. More drama, for crying out loud. Anyone can take a shovel. It's when it's stolen. So it creates some kind of drama in the village. It's an electronic, giant fist appearing from his chest.
That should be in the director's cut.
Apologies for cutting that line as well, David.
Absolutely. That's what I've been waiting for the whole podcast, actually. That's why I turned up. All that apology. That's the only reason I'm here, really. Just there we go. I can sleep now.
Yeah. Maybe we should just put that same line into the next film, regardless.
Yeah, that's fine. And it could be the shovel trilogy.
And then we'll cut it again.
Because
we'll do another podcast.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. And put that to the right side of thing. But yeah, absolutely. So that's the plan. Then that's exciting, isn't it? Coming together, starting scratch on a new script in that style, and moving forward with that. Exciting stuff.
I think so. I think that'd be cool.
Love to.
Absolutely.
Chris has gone a bit quiet, weirdly, guys. Why is Chris not saying anything?
Yeah, he doesn't make the interviewer feel very welcome, does he?
No, he has with the drink.
We're talking about collaborating again, and you're...
It's like Meg Ryan.
No, you're not joining in with the collaboration idea for the next one.
Well, I was just thinking about the detective thing, the octopus. I can't work out how we can do it.
Yeah. That's good. You're already ahead.
I tell you, I've got loads of questions here, but I'm looking through them and I'm just thinking, yeah, they've already been asked that. That's a cliche one. That's a cliche one.
My sofa's still not turned up, so I've got loads of time.
Tell me if some of these questions aren't good, Jamie. I won't take it personally at all. Another genre you'd like to explore, any of you? You just think, I'd love to... wander into that genre and explore. Do you want to keep within that kind of family drama comedy, or do you think next time something a bit darker? And also, you talk about a larger budget. What would you like to explore that with? More special effects? More mainstream cast? Not that there's anything wrong with the cast. Not that there's anything wrong with the cast.
Two of them on this Zoom.
I was just improvising.
Two of them are on the Zoom. Yeah. Okay.
No, that wasn't in any way a negative. In any way, that was me. I just added
You're basically pitching the Tom Cruise again, aren't you?
I am, definitely. One. I mean, that's the route, isn't it? It's the Cruise Meister. I mean, he's like 60 now, and he's been around since the early 80s, and
talking about him.
I know everything goes back to Cruise, isn't it? The full circle. I find myself watching him on YouTube. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, I've been watching loads of clips of Tom Cruise for some reason.
I'm glad I'm not alone.
Is he interesting?
I just find him quite fascinating.
I find him really fascinating, yes.
And like he wants to, everything has to be the best, and he has to do the best as he can. I mean, it's sort of admirable.
Didn't he like famously like sort of expose himself too much like in the past, where he like became a bit like odd with the Katie Holmes thing?
And then
everyone's like, oh, you're a bit weird. And now he's sort of gone back into like
not saying anything.
You know, my favorite clip of him is where he gets interviewed by that joke, that prankster interviewer.
Yes. Who squirts
him with a joke, like flour. Yes. Squirts water. Oh,
yeah. I haven't seen that.
His reaction is so brilliant.
Yes, it is. Very interesting.
Because the prankster, I think, tries to get away, and he holds his arm, I think.
Yes,
something,
he
doesn't
does. He
doesn't
yeah.
let him get away. And he just goes, why did you do that?
Yes.
No, why did you do that? Destroys that guy. It's
brilliant. He really does destroy. It's not a Chris Rock punch, is it? It's more like a parent telling off a child.
Really makes him think about why he did it.
Yeah, I know. He's totally scolded. Yeah, definitely.
It's great.
It's quite the other one that's really interesting that I saw recently. It only lasts like 30 seconds, but it's called Tom Cruise Nearly Hit by a Bus. And it's Tom Cruise wandering through London, and he seems to be walking around on his own. And it's quite recent because there's a Paddington 2 advert on the side of the bus, and it does have to suddenly put the brakes on, and he steps back. But then start realizing he looks like he's on his own, but there's lots of bodyguards satelliting him, if that's the term, satelliting. And it's a case of, so he's on his own, but he's not. And a bloke kind of wanders up to him, talks in Tom's ear, and he kind of doesn't really take any notice. And he wanders off on his own again in London. So it's like all these like hidden bodyguards everywhere. So he is on his own, but he's not. It's a bizarre... And also, he just nearly wandered in front of a bus, which was a bit, you'd have thought he was a bit more self-aware than that. But
oh, don't know about that one.
It's a very bizarre one. It only lasts like 20 seconds, but it's an interesting insight into into Tom Cruise kind of life.
I don't know what to call this episode.
I know, what a nightmare.
The Tom Cruise.
This is terrible, isn't it? It's me sort of.
Tom Cruise stole my shovel.
Yeah, basically. Simple as that. Let's go on a positive route. Last film you saw where you thought I'd love to do something like that? You know, what's a recent or a director or someone you really aspire to? And you think, you know, when you're trying to keep positive and motivated with writing and producing, you think that's the route I'd like to take.
Have you seen The Northman?
That's very good. Yes, that is good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really like the look of it. I like the way it's all self-contained to one little area, pretty much.
Yeah,
that little village that they're in.
Oh, is really? Is it all just set in one little village?
Mainly, yeah. It gets to a point where they're all in one place. Uh-huh. Yeah, it's good. It's quite weird. It's nice and it's quite dark. Those are big axes and swords.
Yeah, it's He-Man on acid, isn't it? It's just nuts.
Oh, that's really a good description.
It's really impressive. And also loads
of
one
would you describe Brian Charles? In a sentence like that?
I would say Aardman for adults, something like that, something in that vein. So Aardman for adults, something in that kind of... Aardman on heroin, something like that, do you know what I mean? Aardman on pink cocaine.
Okay.
Something in that sort of vein, sort of a new age type of... But yeah, The Northman, I mean, so much that... It was really good how a lot of it is in one shot as well, wasn't it? Really immersive how it kind of, they probably overlapped it using computer graphics, but it was really
What film would you, if someone contacted you and said, we want you in this film, what film would you like to be in? Or what sort of style of film would you like to be in more than anything?
God, yeah, that's a hard one, isn't it? If I could do anything.
Like a futuristic sci-fi, you're in that?
Do you know what? I'm partial to an Alexander Payne comedy drama. Do you know, like About Schmidt or an Election or something like that?
Oh, okay.
I don't mind. Do you know what? The other thing I've realised, which is like a sudden realisation, all my favourite films came out in 1999. That's like
you've got that book, haven't you, David?
Yes, I have. All of them. So you look at like Truman Show, Matrix, Fight Club, Sixth Sense.
All in the same year.
They're either very late 98... but then they perhaps came out, you know, wider release in 99. But
those are all my favourite films. Truman Show and The Matrix are like in my top three.
Totally, and they all came out in that period, that pre-millennium angst.
Also, those are two films, we're talking about films that like, you'd want to make. Like, The Matrix and Truman Show, just, no one can ever do that idea again because they're such a distinct idea. Like, no one can make another Truman Show because it's just copying Truman Show. And same as The Matrix, so you can't do another idea in that world because it's just like, well, they've done it.
Completely done it, yeah. I mean, and they've tried it three other times in The Matrix, haven't they? And it's a film that doesn't really need a sequel, does it? It's just done. It's, you know.
David, I've got it here. 1999, Sixth Sense, Toy Story 2.
God.
The Matrix, The Mummy, Notting Hill, The World Is Not Enough, American Beauty.
Hmm. I think Truman Show is
Tarzan. I love Tarzan.
Yeah, it was a Disney one.
Phil Collins singing.
It was Tarzan. Phil Collins.
I love that. Phil Collins Tarzan. Yeah.
Oh, that was a good image.
I don't remember that one.
Notting Hill made $363 million.
But it did cost $362 million to make.
You've got to remember that. That would be
flipping out.
It did really well, Notting Hill, didn't it? Because I mean,
I'm all about budgets now and box offices. I've never once thought.
You haven't even until we went to see our film in the cinema. You said you haven't been to cinema for years. You were like, you said, get it now.
Oh, I love it.
You did love it.
I absolutely love it.
Do you think you're going to watch more films now, David? Because you've made a film.
Because once the kids are grown up, I will. Right. I'm just too tired.
Right, fair enough.
Well, it's 7 o'clock. What films were they promoting in LA? What are the big movies? So obviously, alongside your own, but what
are you trying to bring Tom Cruise back again?
Probably.
What's Tom Cruise's next film?
Mission Impossible. He's got.
What about his new idea? You said, David, that he's got. What's his new idea?
Oh, it's with Doug Liman, and he's going to. He wants to film. He's writing the script to film a movie in space.
Oh yeah.
And Doug Liman is attached to it. And he's doing that. What else he's done? And also, there's the what's that time loop film? He's doing a sequel to that one as well.
We are actually talking about.
So we are back to him, aren't we? What a disaster! Let's put Cruise to bed. I think even Tom Cruise doesn't need any more PR advertising.
Do you think Tom Cruise would like Brian and Charles, David?
I think he'd find it very confusing.
He does go to the cinema a lot. He says he watches loads of films.
Yeah. Really? You don't think he'd like it?
What wouldn't he like about it?
I think it would be too. I think he's too left field. He'd be looking at the robot, thinking, "Well, why haven't they CGI'd him? That's strange."
No, but isn't Tom Cruise likes it all to be in camera, doesn't he? So
very true. Yes, absolutely.
I'd love it if he was the film's biggest fan was Tom Cruise.
Oh, that would be glorious, wouldn't it? That'd be amazing.
Is he on Twitter?
No, he's too busy running and keeping fit. And
oh God, yeah! Listen, look at his daily regime. You never know if he was a massive fan of it. Once again, it'd be like I've doubted Tom. You know, once again, he's come up trumps.
What for liking another film?
Well, liking something a bit more, that's just not your average kind of mainstream. But it's like Chris says, he apparently watches a film every day. He's very anti-television, isn't it? We're back on Tom Cruise, aren't we? But
do you know what his name is? His real
Tom,
name.
So it's something because it's not Cruise, is it? It's
Thomas Cruise Mapother.
Mapother, that's interesting. Yeah,
Mapother the fourth. Thomas Cruise Mapother the fourth. What?
He should have kept with that. Why go with Cruise?
First, second, and third.
Thomas Cruise Mapother the fourth.
Yeah, what's his family history? Where's he? Is he like? From
Germany.
Apparently they moved around a lot, didn't they? And his dad left them.
His dad was Thomas Cruise Mapother the third.
Well, there you go.
Has he got brothers and sisters?
The sisters, I think, just sisters. I think he was the youngest.
Yeah, Cruise has three sisters, Leanne, Marion, and Cass. One of his cousins, William Mapother, is also an actor.
Did you hear on...
Deep dive into Cruise here.
What was the question we were asking then about inspiration? Anyone, any particular directors or inspiration, the route? I ended up just talking about myself, bizarrely.
Who are your favourite directors, Jim? Who do you look at?
My favourite directors? I like Ruben Östlund, who did Force Majeure.
Yeah, he's good, isn't he? The Avalanche.
Yeah, a big Zemeckis fan. Like Contact, one of my favourite films.
That's good, Jodie Foster. That's great, isn't it?
That's all right. I like Spielberg, to be honest. It's a bit lame.
That's not lame, liking Spielberg. Lame, that's great. You can't beat Spielberg. I mean, he's probably the most successful out of all of them, isn't he?
Yeah.
Different genres.
That's right.
The guy did Force de Jure. Did he also use the Square?
The Square, and he just won the Palme d'Or for his new one, which is Triangle of Sadness.
Sat on a boat, isn't it, or something, with like celebrities?
Would he like, yeah, it's like rich people on a boat that gets like trapped on a desert island or something like that. Sounds great.
He's really good, isn't he? Such a clever idea with the Avalanche with the family.
Yeah, so good. Love that film.
Yeah, that's absolutely brilliant. Zemeckis is really good, isn't it? I guess his earlier stuff is best, isn't it? And then he went into that CGI motion capture period.
Yeah, yeah. But like Back to the Future, yeah, Contact, all that stuff. I love that.
Yeah, God, yeah, you can't beat Back to the Future. That's brilliant.
David, if you were given £10 million and someone said you can make whatever movie you want and you're directing it and writing it, what would it be? What genre? What would the story be?
No, he's starring in it.
Who would be starring? What? Mr. Cruise.
Yeah, Cruise is doing you a favour. What would be the movie? What would it be called? What would it be?
Yeah, he's on set. He's waiting for you to tell him what to do.
Really is a question, is it? I've got 10 million. I've got Tom Cruise.
Because you have got lots of ideas, haven't you, for films and whatnot? Sort of.
Yeah, he's right in front of you. He's saying, David, I'm Tom Cruise. I'm right in front of you. What's the film?
Quick, I'm busy. Quick.
Yeah, come on, man. We need to start shooting now.
Oh, wait. Tom Cruise is on set and doesn't know what the film is.
I'm ready to go. I'm right here. You wanted me. I'm here. What do you want me to do?
I know, indeed. God, yeah. It would be
David,
exciting.
I'm still waiting. Tell me what you want me to do.
Yeah, what is it, David?
David, come on. If you don't tell me what you want me to do, I'm getting back on that plane and I am gone.
Really think about it. The most riveting...
Tell me what you want me to do, David.
Be like that. I mean, the most interesting thing would be like just a documentary of me and him making it, wouldn't it? Like
that. Oh, that's a cop-out.
No, come
that
on, come on.
That is a cop-out.
Come on.
It would definitely be Tom going back to his kind of drama roots.
No, talk to Tom. Tom's with you now.
Okay, Tom, we're going to basically move aside from the action element and we're going to go back to Rain Man, Colour of Money. And it's going to be more you as a drama actor. You know, a few good men
like
doing a lot of monologues.
I like this film.
Well, that's good. I'm glad we're sort of on the same page there. So it's going to be less you leaping off objects and more talking to people. I know that so much. That's the direction we're kind of we're going
to
move
it. Tom wants to know what it's called, the movie.
What's it called?
It's going to be called...
David, I've got 4 days left now on my schedule.
No, that's fine. Don't worry about that. It's going to be called Castration, and it's going to be about a man, but not literal physical castration. It's purely a metaphor, and it's going to be a man dealing with his masculinity. I tell you what, it would be War of the Worlds without the aliens.
What?
War of the Worlds without the aliens, basically. So you'd be with him in the kitchen with his engines and bits and pieces. I'd like to spend more time with that guy.
Castration story.
Two tickets for castration, please.
Right, absolutely.
The Tom Cruise film.
A lot of Bruce Springsteen music in the background. And
yeah, apparently it's like War of the Worlds, but without aliens.
It's going to feel more like that. Yeah, so it's like...
Okay, cool.
Him kind of dealing with, I'm trying to think, I tell you what it would be. This is what it would be. Do you know the guy who directed Tangerine and Red Rocket?
Yeah, Sean something.
That's it, yeah. I can't remember anyone's name. Sean thing. It would be like that with Tom Cruise. How exciting. Social realism, a man dealing with his masculinity.
Like completely improvised dialogue. Sort of
yeah, it's definitely. I think he'd be amazing at that, wouldn't he?
All non-actors except for Tom Cruise.
Yes, that would be incredible.
And no aliens.
No aliens whatsoever, just an existential crisis. Nothing coming from the Earth, just within.
He likes a challenge, so I reckon he'd be up for that.
I think he'd be really
up for it. What's the first line of the movie, David?
The first line of the movie would be, what do you people want from me?
What's the last line of the movie?
Oh, there was the
that was the first one.
Oh, the first
last
line.
What's it the last line?
The same thing.
What do you want from me? It'd be like, okay, God, I've really hit right. The last line of the movie would be,
quick, Tom's going.
Yeah, just, it'd be something like,
The audience are so engaged with this film, they're just waiting for the last line.
Quick.
They love this so much.
It'd be something like, never hold your breath. Doesn't make sense. Is that something like that?
It could make sense. We haven't watched the other 90 minutes. Right?
Yeah.
It's just getting the stuff in between, isn't it? It's just those three acts. I'll tell you one thing. Did anyone ever pitch to you the idea of a Brian and Charles TV show instead of a sequel?
We talked about it on set.
Yeah, some people have mentioned that as well. They've said they can imagine it being a TV show.
Quite a lot of people have pitched a children's book, like a Rainbow children's books as well, which I quite like.
Yeah, we got
cartoon.
We got pitched that in one of those interviews.
Yeah. You guys did as well, didn't you? Well, Chris did.
Yeah, at Sundance. That woman. I really hope people go and watch it.
Well, I mean, what are the box office numbers like in America at the moment? Obviously, there's a lot of competition.
Well, I was talking about the UK. I really hope, like, here.
Yeah.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's getting a wide.
Have you seen any posters up anywhere yet? I haven't seen any posters anywhere.
They're not doing posters.
I don't think they're doing, posters.
Doing posters. Maybe I'll put some up.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Why not, for crying out loud?
David Edwards, how would you help us promote the film apart from this podcast? Have you got any other sort of guerrilla marketing, any interesting ideas?
Yeah, let's think of guerrilla marketing. I mean, it's the whole social media, Twitter aspect, isn't it?
Oh, okay. What about sort of street marketing?
Yeah, anything kind of street marketing. Well, I mean, God, I mean, you know, you go to the centre of London, don't you? Out comes Charles. And I don't know.
Nearly get hit by a bus.
Absolutely. Tom Cruise style type of thing. But I'm sure you could create some kind of Charles. I mean, this is just ridiculous. But I mean, if you really wanted some form of promotion, it would be a case of Charles in the centre of London wandering around. I'm sure the Metro and people like that would take photos and of being, you know, and would be interested. Not that I'm saying this is a good idea. You should definitely be, you know, if you're that publicity hungry to that degree. I mean, he's quite a sight, isn't he? You know, he's like 6'7".
What would people do? They just sort of like start following him. They're like, he's just walking through the circus and he just suddenly.
Yeah, they look at him and then just keep walking.
Yeah, just keep walking, wouldn't they?
I think he'd need to be doing something bizarre, like some bizarre activity or some situation.
Like what?
Like one of those street performers.
Yeah, it's like a street performer type of thing. Yeah, basically.
Like standing still and then they suddenly move.
I think it'd be more interesting to see him like walking down like a sort of dark country lane at night.
With the glowing eyes.
I don't think the Metro would cover that though.
But to see what that that one dog walker does when they see that.
Yeah, definitely. Sort of film that. Yeah, so I mean, Paranormal Activity did that, didn't they? They did hidden camera situations in shops where people would be shopping for something and then suddenly all the objects would elevate around them. And then they'd film it as a hidden camera and then put it on Twitter. So you could do hidden camera Brian attacks or Charles attacks type of thing on locals. Film it, put that on social media.
Attacks.
What, attacking people?
Not literally attacking people, but I mean, just appearing in the dark on country lanes with dog walkers, things in that vein.
Mucking them.
That would make you want us to go see the film, would it?
Well, first of all, I know the title. I would know the brand name type of thing. That would be like tattooed to my head.
Well, that's a good idea. We could tattoo a film on your forehead.
Family film. We want girls to attack people.
Yeah, you've got to think about demographic. I mean, tattooing it to my head, that would be West Sussex done. But, you know, you've got to think of the world, haven't you?
Do you think your students will watch it?
Yeah, they would like it, definitely. Yeah, I think they would be up. They would definitely like it, yes.
Have you told them about it?
I've only mentioned it briefly in the sense of just showing trailers.
In the sense of not mentioning it.
They didn't know you're in it.
No, that's what I mean. I haven't told them I'm in it type of thing.
What,
That'd be fun, but you should. That'd be funny if they watch it and they go,
yeah, they're gonna, Jesus. Yeah, they might watch
they will
it go,
find
what?
That quite bizarre, but I'm not sure how I'd even venture to just explain that, really. Do you know what I mean? Got a bit of a bizarre, and also you don't want to come over as daddy cool to a bunch of 17 year olds, you know, in the film type thing, you know.
How are you going to react if they say, Mr. Edwards, we saw you? Da-da-da. Oh, just continue with your essay, please. How will you react?
I might just say it was an accident. I was there in Wales at the time. And
now, what will you say? Mr. Edwards, we saw you in Brian and Charles.
We loved it.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, I know some of the people who make it, actually, and they just
invited me. Why didn't you tell us about that it was on?
Well, you had more important things to do. You had your exams to revise and things like that.
Are you embarrassed about being involved in it?
Good grief, not at all. I'm very much part of the happy to promote that one. No, good grief, not at all.
That one,
that particular one, my filmography, my other moments. But it's a case of
you are in another film, aren't you? What's that called?
Oh, that's not a film. That's like a short film, Cousin-in-Laws. I don't think I'm in any other films anyway. I don't think it's going from my memory now. I think it's only the one. But that was just fucking.
Did you ever make a student film?
Oh God, endless.
Endless. I know. I saw one of them. Did you make a lot then?
Oh yeah, loads, endless. That action film I made. That was just. I think that was the first of an ongoing career of student films.
And what was that called?
Prepare for the Contingency. It was just an action like film. Me beating people up in the
straight
field.
Off the bat.
Straight off the bat. Know that one like that. I tell you now, this is the really insane thing. We should go back to the film because we're going off subject here. Sorry about this, Dave. It's a bit all over the place. But as
that's very nice of you to apologise.
Sorry, yeah, so to everyone, not just David, by the way. It should be to all four of you. Sort of counting the boxes there, am I interacting with? But the technology that students have got now is just incredible. If you some of the student films, I tell you what, it really is a case of an element whereby the only thing that's lacking now is script writing, because the films are just insane. So some of the films that some of the students have put together.
What do you mean the look of them?
Yeah, the look of them is just like David Fincher's Zodiac look, literally. You know, these neon noir lit car parks in like Haven they filmed in. We're talking Haven, like the most mundane urban environment you can imagine.
But, good name for a film, Haven.
Yeah, it would be, wouldn't it? Start of a franchise, the Haven Escape.
What are they filming it on then? Are they just using phones or?
Well, DSLR cameras, but a lot. I made myself look like a bit of a fool, if you can believe it, with Apple phones. I was like, you're not using your phone to film anything. And there's no way you're doing that. And they did it because they were lazy, and I didn't even recognize it. I was like, there you go. That's, you use our cameras. You know, you just got wandering around your bloody mobile phone like an idiot type of thing. And they're like, and I asked them about editing it. How are you going
to
download
it?
You
talk to them?
No. I don't have a mutiny on my hands. I need Lord of the Flies. You know what I mean? Yeah. My head would be on a stake very quickly. You've got to watch your, watch what you're doing. But the main thing is also drone shots. So you've got these student films and it's like the beginning of The Shining. You've got a mini metro going through Haven with like a helicopter shot. So it's like, what, you know, literally you've got the cinematography there for a mid-range American thriller for a 17-year-old who does it in between McDonald's. He's actually not that committed, really.
I know you don't like this guy.
Yeah. I love these guys. These are, there's no bitterness here. I'm, you know, it's all L-O-V-E. It's all like keeping together, we're all part of the family.
Yeah.
But the only thing is, literally, is
scripts. Their scripts are shit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, which mine are as well. I can't knock it. Do you know what I mean? I mean, I've tried typing stuff out, and you look at it a few months later, you just think, fuck. It's just like, you know, it's an elusive thing, isn't it? Because we watch films and TV, so we think we can pull it off, and then you try to, and it's just, it's a balancing act. This is very, very tricky.
I think David and Chris pulled it off with their writing, don't you?
Oh, definitely. And I think so well from the taking it from a short film to a fully conceived feature film. I mean, that's very hard to, you know, because the short film was a big hit, wasn't it? That you all produced type of thing. And to take that and then put it into a feature length element, that's very hard to keep that tone still alive, you know, not to kill the thing that made that short actually work into an hour and a half thing. I mean, that's almost, I would say, impossible to do that you sorted out there. So, you know, well done. I'm sorry, I'm not going to come after. You just have another silent pause there. I wasn't sure what to do with it. You're
like, quite emotional.
Came over sarcastic, but I thought I had another Schwarzenegger pause in front of me there. Oh, Jesus.
And we got to use a drone, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, she did. The Hills of Wales, yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
Which is a nice touch, definitely.
Shall we... do you want to carry on?
I've got to go for lunch. Well, when my family comes back, I'll probably wind up.
How many hours do you reckon a day you spend watching either TV or films? Or like a week?
Do you know what?
You must watch a lot.
The irony with me is I probably listen to podcasts and read about films more than I actually kind of... the amount of film podcasts I listen to is probably loads, whereas actual viewing TV and film, probably over the weekend type of thing. I get back from work quite late and things like that. But I probably read and listen to reviews and like film interviews and stuff. I seem to be more, it's like everything everywhere at once. I listen to all the reviews and everything, and then I finally got to see the film, and it was almost a bit of an anti-climax, really. But what about you, Chris? Do you watch quite a bit?
No, not really, no. Like, not that many. Don't spend that many hours.
After Love, I watched that on the way back. That was good.
What's that one about? After
Joe Scanlon won a BAFTA. That was good.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, worth the watch.
Oh right, okay. What's that about? It's
she finds out after her husband dies that he's got another family, basically.
Oh, I didn't know anything about that. Well, I have to check that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds really interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely.
And Brian and Charles.
Absolutely. When is that coming out in the cinema then? That's early July, isn't it? Same July week as Thor, for God's sake.
Yeah, July 8th. You know, 150 cinemas across the country.
That is impressive, isn't it?
Check it out.
Is it up against Thor?
Yes.
Yes.
Bloody hell.
So it's a definite palate cleanser there.
I might watch Thor.
It's the it's Taki Waititi, isn't it? The big New Zealand. Were you going to cinema that weekend? Taki Waititi. Oh God! Imagine doors being closed in my face over that one. Are you planning to go to the cinema then when it comes out on that weekend?
I think I might try and do what Rupert and David did.
It's good fun.
I'll try and like look for one that's actually got some people in it. And then...
Yeah, that's brilliant, sitting in a big cinema.
I think I've got to go.
I do as well, yeah.
Well, thanks for your time. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry, if it wasn't the most professional kind of... I sort of went off topic a hell of a lot.
No, not at all. I'm going to cut out all the Tom Cruise stuff.
I know, mate. It's not.
It's going to be a 9-minute pod.
Very cliche that, you know.
Let's have a quick fire round with the remaining questions. Let's start really.
Yeah. Okay, that's good.
I wrote a question for you, David.
Oh, yes.
About Top Gun.
Oh.
If you were in it, what would your call sign be?
It would be.
One word.
Blom Banshee, I think. Something like that. Or, no, that's not ideal, is it?
I feel like I've heard you say that before.
Yes, it is.
Maybe. It would be a lasso, because of my length of body, lasso.
Talk to me, lasso.
Yes, definitely. Lasso, I think would be quite good dragging people forward, forceful element. Yeah, Blonde Banshee's done, that's behind me. Lasso is what it would be.
Quick fire round.
Maverick and lasso.
Yeah. Quick fire round.
Okay, so some of these are going to be quite boring, so do be prepared for this.
Yes and no answers again.
Okay, tips to screenwriters to finish projects, which I know is a terrible question. This is why I didn't actually ask these questions. But just to finish your script, what would you say to people, you know, if you're going to give tips to a screenwriter?
Quick fire round.
Just power forward and get to the end and then just keep going over it.
Don't give up.
Right, next question.
Will you watch it with a real audience? You've answered that already.
Yes.
Dream genre, you've already said that one. What's your dream
genre?
Sorry?
Sci-fi.
Sci-fi, there you go. Was it exciting to actually see your review in like magazines you read growing up, like Empire and also The Guardian? Yes, we've already answered that one. during the whole filmmaking experience, when did you feel this is a 10-year-old's daydream come to life type of thing? Oh, I've always dreamed of this as a film fan.
First shot.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, definitely cut that action. Definitely. Hardest day on set we've done. We've mentioned directors. Have you got a cinema release? We've done that. Experience of doing the press junket. Was it very, what was that like? Just continual questions.
Really nerve-wracking.
Very fast.
Yeah. But you get in a sort of quite a nice zen state, don't you, after if you do quite a few back-to-back?
Yeah. You know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, here's another one. Would you consider living in LA?
For a short stint.
Yeah, for a job.
And you think, will it just become too much, do you think? Is it just too intense, too kind of...
Quick fire round.
Keep it going. One thing I would have to say, you must have seen more celebrities than just Wiseman, and there must be some other... Well, there must have been a few other celebrities you saw in LA just knocking about.
When I was last there, I saw Bill Murray.
Really?
I saw Robin Williams.
I saw Tom Cruise.
Did you see Tom Cruise?
Me there.
You didn't.
Clear enough. What was Bill Murray doing?
Quick fire round.
He was only dealing with David Letterman.
Next question.
Oh, right. That was it. One was water bottle tours. The idea of like going around pitching ideas post Brian and Charles. That hasn't happened yet, has it? Or, you know, going around talking to people.
Not really. Not post Brian and Charles, no.
And it was just like what's next, which we discussed really, which is doing something in the style of Brian and Charles, potentially maybe a sequel or something in that vein.
With an octopus,
definitely.
Spiders, snake in a van.
Sort of weaponry skill, yeah. Snake in a van, that'd be perfect. Yeah. CGI snake. That's what computer graphics for. That's all the questions done.
Thank you.
Great. I feel like we did it.
We've already done, so I'm not going to re-ask those.
Can we just do one last thing, David? You just do like a trailer, like an improvised trailer.
That's nice.
Absolutely.
Go for it.
From the hills of Wales, people unknown to us are dwelling together to create a magical experience between a man and a robot. Linking hearts, souls, spirits, and minds as they enter into the Welsh mythology of our hearts.
Lovely.
Yeah. And then can you do coming soon, Brian and Charles, 8th of July? 8th of July. I'll try and make this epic.
Brian and Charles coming to cinema the 8th of July.
That's the name of the film. Is that the name of the film, the 8th of July?
No, it's not. You're quite right.
Brian and Charles coming to cinemas this 8th of July.
This 8th.
Let's do it again. Brian and Charles coming to cinemas July 8th.
Next 8th.
I think keep all this in the trailer.
Yes,
just get it right. So it just shows that, you know, we're focused on perfection.
Yeah.
I think the best thing to come out of this is that the viral campaign is Charles attacking people on the street.
Charles attack.
Yes. You just want to get people talking, basically. It's all about interacting, isn't it? Food for thought type of element, social media.
Well, thank you for supporting the film, David.
Yeah, thanks, David.
I hope it's usable, do you know what I mean? Cause it's been quite a sort of all-over-the-place situation, but definitely. And I'll definitely be checking out on July 8th, goes without saying.
See you there.
And beyond.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, lovely chatting to you all. Definitely have a nice weekend. Look after yourselves.
Cheers, David. Cheers,
bye, guys. Take care of yourself, guys. See you later.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye.